Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want to talk to you a little bit today about purpose. About your, yes.
Can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
And to the people that don't know the Lord.
Amen.
And I had one request. My son Joshua and his family is moving here. They're packing up the 16th. They're moving the 17th. And they don't have a house. So if anyone has input in that, they need a three-bedroom house. And I just said, go on with your plans. God's going to provide. So,
amen.
I'm just putting that request out if anybody knows a good place.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray for Sarah. Is it Sarah?
Yes.
Let's pray for Sarah and that team. Father, thank you so much that you have people all over the place doing your work. And Lord, we want to agree with you that they have been sent by you to do your work on the streets. And Lord, we ask you that the streets of the place that they're in right now would be shaken by the presence of God. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for this home that needs to be established, that needs to be, that needs to come forth. We just ask you to show your provision. Take care of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Who has left rotator cuff issues? Okay, stand to your feet. Left rotator cuff issues. Go ahead and stand up.
How about the right?
Well, yeah, go ahead and go for the right too. I heard left, but go ahead. I don't really matter to me. Boy, I tell you, I love this family. He said, just turn around and it'd be to his left. So, you know, God loves you enough to be able to say things like that, to be able to demonstrate, not just to you, but to people that witness. God loves you. God loves us so much. And he cares about you. So whatever arm you have it in, I want you to raise that arm. In Jesus' name, I ask you to come now and begin to minister to the rotator cuff and the bodies of your people. Lord, we ask you to speak to the nerves, the ligaments, and the bone, and everything in it, Lord, would be able to surrender to the presence of the Holy Spirit. And divine power would begin to flow through their fingers and their arms, their elbows and their shoulders. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, did anybody feel anything? Yeah, great. Anybody got any healing on it? There's one more that I have. Who is hurting behind the... Right behind the right knee. Stand to your feet. Behind the right knee. It's right in here. Okay. Okay.
How about the left?
How about
what? Turn around.
Boy, how about the left knee? Turn around. Yeah. Okay. Okay, lift it up. Lift it up. Move it. Lift it up. Move it. Father, in Jesus' name, you call it forth. So in the name of Jesus, go to that area now, Holy Spirit, and begin to rearrange anything that needs to be rearranged for these your children. To be able to be free from this pain and this hindrance. We ask you for complete healing. And we ask you, Father, that it will not return to them. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and move it. Go ahead and move. I'll tell you this. Go ahead and shake a leg. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Now, let me tell y'all how that works for me. How that works for me is not me just hearing something out of the blue. How that works for me is I have pain. I had pain in my left shoulder right in here. I had the pain. I felt the pain. When I walked down, after we started praying for that, when I walked down, I had a tremendous amount of pain in the back of my knee, right here on my right leg. I have no pain there now. I have no pain in my shoulder. Indicators to me that I need to be vocal enough to say, because there's no reason why my shoulder should hurt. There's no reason why my right leg should hurt. None at all. Neither one of them hurt now. So I've learned to be obedient to how God speaks to me in words of knowledge. I'm not saying you'll get it that way. I don't know how you'll get it. You may get an impression. You may get a voice. You may get, I don't know how you'll get it. But that's how it worked for me. That all started when I was on the plane back from Toronto, Canada. I told God, when we go out to Toronto, Canada, I really want you to get Brenda. That was my prayer. I really want you to get Brenda. I really want you to just, you know. Well, the reverse happened. He got me. Stuck to the floor for about 45 minutes. Two big old men from Georgia tried to come and pick me up. Both of them about 6'3", 6'4", yanking and a pulling and a tugging. And they said, how much do you weigh? And I said, I ain't got a clue right now. And then on the way back, God did release me. I stuck 45 minutes. How many of you know that you can't stop somebody bigger than you from picking you up? You can't do that. They said, I'm going to be heavier. No. And then on the way back, I was sitting beside this lady on the plane, and my knee just went boom, just went over and hit her. Just boom, like that. And I said, I'm sorry. Excuse me, I'm sorry. It's okay. All right. So I turned a little bit, and then about another 5 or 6 minutes, I readjusted myself again, and boom, it hit her again. And then I asked her name. Her name's Doris. I said, ma'am, what's your name? She said, my name's Doris. And I said, Doris, I'm very sorry. I don't know what's going on with my knee right now, but I'm going to turn this way so it doesn't happen again. She said, I'm fine. So I settled down, pointing this way. Next thing I know, there goes my elbow. Look, I'm thinking, I'm like, I'm becoming spastic. There's something bad wrong with me. And I hit her, and I'm like, I'm really embarrassed. And I told Brenda, I said, Brenda, no. She said, why are you hitting that lady? And I said, I don't know. Anyway, I hit her with the elbow, and she looked at me, and I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. She said, did you just come from the meeting in Toronto? And I said, yes, ma'am, I did. And she said, I'm used to it. Just let whatever needs to happen, let it happen. And I'm like, but really the Lord was beginning to tell me, show me things, and I asked Bob Jones, who's one of my spiritual fathers, I asked him, Bob, what in the world happened? He said, boy, you ain't got a bit of sense. You need to know and understand that that's God. That's God getting your attention that he has something for this lady. Did you hear anything? And I said, no, I was focused on me not hitting her. And he said, you need to get past that and listen when things like that happen. That's not normal, is it? And I said, no. So I've learned over the years to be able to listen when that happens. Now, I would say, does anybody face real hot right now? But I can't say that now because I got sunburn. <You know? laughs> But anyway, in our purpose and our walk with God, it may not look like what we think it is. It may not look like any of that. All we have to do is just be obedient and to be able to come out of the shadows and walk in the fulfillment of what He has for us, because what He has for us is not just for you. See, the world is longing for the purpose of God to come after them. And He's going to use you and I in a lot of ways to do that, to go after the purpose of God in other people. They need to be quickened, and they need to be awakened to the very thing that God is doing. And in the process of that being done, we glorify Him. You know, I didn't come back from Toronto saying, hey, we're going to start this ministry. It's this. So everybody get ready to be doing that. No, that's not what God wants you to do. God just wants you to say, hey, just acknowledge me when I'm doing something. You look across this thing about culture. You look across the field of culture, and you begin to see that the influence of Christianity has dwindled for decades. Now, I do see glimmers of it resurging. I really do. I see glimmers of that. Why? Because I know God's people are beginning to hear what He's saying, and we're beginning to take action. Everybody say, take action. Amen. See, I could have ignored this shoulder. I could have ignored this arm. But look at the people that would have missed out on God singling them out. You understand what I'm saying? See, here's the thing about it. We try to pre-measure our action with an assumed result. So we pre-measure the action that we may think we need to take. We pre-measure that by an assumed result that may come out. And then when that happens, we usually don't do the action that He's actually wanting us to do. So we lose the purpose of the moment and the purpose of the time that He's given us around whoever it is or wherever it is. And we lose that. Why? Because we're not quickened to the presence of God and how He wants to move. See, if we keep looking for Him the same old way, He'll show up differently. And He'll do that on purpose. Why? Because He doesn't have a box. He doesn't have a certain method that He always does it. He'll use any method that He can to be able to do what He needs to do. But He's looking for people that will be crazy enough. Will, that'll be just mad enough, crazy enough to step out on the love of God and be used of Him in a way that is extraordinary. Extraordinary. Just ordinary people being extra. We're just natural people being super. Why? Because we're supernatural people. We're extraordinary people. We're extraordinary people. And he wants to, you know, part of our purpose is to expose Jesus, to reveal Jesus, to reveal His nature, instead of Him just being trapped inside us. He wants us to follow the working of the Spirit in order to be able to do what the Spirit wants us to do, even though we don't understand it. Right? So we do a survey of a culture, and we see culture is deteriorating. Culture is you know, somebody said, you know, all, somebody told me, all hope for America is gone. And I said, what book are you reading? I said, he's got people here. So all hope is not gone. We're still here. And we're here for a purpose. He wants to show that purpose, and he wants to reveal that purpose to us, and he wants us to be activated in that person. We have become so dimensional. Ain't that what I said? No, that's not what I said. I thank God for editing tapes. I really do. But I tell them, you want that edited out? Nah. That's just me. Dimensional. I said it right, didn't I? We've become so one-dimensional. And that one dimension is this. I'm saved and I'm waiting. I'm saved. He's coming for me. I don't know when it is, but I know it'll be soon. I'm saved. I'm born again, and I'm waiting. I'm saved, and I'm ready. I'm ready to meet the King. I'm saved, and I'm just going to rest a while till he gets here. See, that's one dimension. One dimension. Our salvation. The salvation is just the beginning. Our salvation is, yes, I am, it is for me, but it's also through me to others. See, it has to be in full dimension. The fullness of his purpose, the fullness of who, why are we still here? Because there's people that still need you. Listen to me. There's people that still need you to demonstrate the nature of God. They need to see it from you. They need to see it and realize it coming from a living human being, and that you're extraordinary. That you're an extraordinary person when you're around them and they see that. They need that. They need to see that. They need to see the demonstration of who he is and the flavor and the aroma of who Christ is, no matter what. That's the reason the oil of gladness needed to be on Jesus, right? Why? He's about to go through some of the most painful suffering that man has ever known. And it said he was able to look beyond the cross and see what? Anybody know? Huh? He looked, in Philippians, he said, he looked beyond the cross to see what, Pastor John? The joy that was set before him. What is he looking at? He's looking at gladness that he's been anointed with. Even the very most difficult trials that he'll ever go through is an entire life. He was able to see beyond that because the oil of gladness was put on him, and he was able to see beyond and see the joy that was set, put in place before him. Boy, that's what this world's looking for. See, Christianity, a lot of times we've gotten so modern that it's all about us. We want to have happy church instead of just the church being happy. We want to have happy church. Make me happy today, Pastor. I might not come back. I'm not really here to make you happy. I can't even make you happy. Happiness depends on happenings. So if something doesn't happen that you think needs to happen, you might not be happy. Joy doesn't depend upon happenings. That's the reason he was able to look beyond all the suffering to see the joy that is set before him. Because he saw you. He saw me. He saw us flooding in because of the sacrifice that he's making. See, when we pre-measure it because of a result, watch this. If you think that you begin to see that heaven has sent the only begotten Son. God sent the only begotten Son that he had, and he had a purpose. And he fulfilled that purpose. His death, burial, his beating, his death, burial, and resurrection, did it make a difference? Well, he died for the entire world. Is the entire world born again? No. So if you measure that result on what he's having to pay, do you think there's any regret in heaven? Because everybody's not saved? Is there any regret in heaven? Are there any regret in heaven? There's not any regret in heaven, even if it was just you that was born again. It was worth it to the Father to have you. Y'all with me? So there's no regret in sending the Son. Why? So you can't measure the results and say, well, everybody's not born again, so why did he die? Well, he died to save the world. But the world's not saved. So you can't measure that result, your perceived result over your thinking that, well, it's not worth it. Y'all remember the story about the little boy on the shore, and he's tossing starfish. Yeah. He's tossing starfish, and a man walks up and says, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm tossing starfish back into the ocean because it washed up on the shore. I'm tossing starfish back in the ocean." And the man looks at him. He says, "Son, have you seen the thousands of starfish that are hundreds that's on this shore?" He said, "You're not going to make it. It doesn't matter. You're not going to make a difference." He reaches down and gets one, tosses it out, and he said, "It did for that one." He made a difference for that one. See, we say we love God, we love people, and we make a difference. See, we can't just say we love God and love people and sit. We have to make the difference by being engaged with the purpose of God that he has for us. And he wants us to know that. He wants us to know the purpose. Right. Why does he want us to be engaged with his purpose? Over in 2 Timothy, it says this, but realize this, 2 Timothy 3. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. That word difficult means dangerous. Everybody say the word dangerous. In the last days, dangerous, there's going to be dangerous times coming. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful. There's so much of a demonstration of ungratefulness to people in this from people in this nation that it just really ruffles my feathers. Unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control. They're brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. He said, see, the Lord is telling us, this is what's coming. This is what's coming. Some of it's already here. So what are we to do? We're to make the difference. We're to be so engaged with our purpose that, yeah, this is coming. He goes on down in verse, he said, always learning, never coming to the knowledge of truth. Verse 10, but you, watch this, but you. Everybody say, but me. I say this, I know all this is coming. A lot of it's here. But me, watch this. But me, he said, but you followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose. Watch, my purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, sufferings, such as happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord has delivered me. Out of them all, the Lord has delivered me. That's purpose. See, that's, we need to be engaged with the purpose of God for our life. And some of us scratch the head and say, I don't know what that is. Verse 14, you, however, continue in things you have learned and have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Continue in the things you've learned. It's one thing to have words that you've been given from the scriptures and even prophetic words that you've been given, and all of a sudden you start hungering for another one. You have to hear me when I say this. You start wanting another one and you say, where can I go to get my other word? Well, what word have you already gotten? Are you hearing me? I've got to go over here, go over there so I can and have an encounter with God. Let me tell you where you encounter God most of the time. You ready? You'll encounter God most of the time in the very place that he's called you to be responsible. In the place that he's called you to be responsible. In the place that he's called you to be faithful. You know what? God has said in his word, if you'll just be faithful in these little things. But we'll run past the little things because they're way too small. God says, see, we want the very ruling and the authority to be over greater things without ever being faithful to the little things. So wherever God has put you is today in being responsible, be responsible. Yeah. You know how, listen. Jesus walks by and he sees Andrew and Peter. And they're fishing. He said, hey, guys, if you come with me, what are they doing? They're doing the responsible thing. Taking care of their family, doing this. They're in the midst of being faithful to the small thing that they're doing. Jesus walks by and says, hey, if you come with me, I'll make you fishers of men. What did they encounter? Presence of God. Whoa, wait a minute. He walks on down. He sees Matthew Andrew and Matthew, and then he sees, Matthew's a tax collector. He sees James and John. And they're with their dad, and they're out there fishing. He said, hey, if you come with me, I'll make you fishers of men. Why? Being faithful to the little in the little places that God's given you, and all of a sudden, the purpose of God finds you, awakens you to a higher calling that you didn't know existed. It's the reason he wants us to be faithful in our responsibility that he's already given. In other words, whatever it is that God's given you to do now, do it as unto the Lord. Do it as if you sell cars as unto the Lord. That will change your method of how you sell them. You don't get that, but anyway. Do you hear me? If you're a contractor, what kind of contractor should Keith be? An extraordinary contractor. Extraordinary. He's just not an ordinary contractor. He's an extraordinary contractor. Why? Because he's doing the extra as unto the Lord. And the purposes of God finds him. David is tending sheep. He gets called to do a little small thing. He gets called to go out and take the food to his brothers. They're out there, and they're out there, listen, they're out there for 40 days. And he's been sent to carry the lunch box, to tote the sack that's just got cheese and bread in it. But he's doing it because he was sent. He was faithful to the responsibility that he had been given. And what did he encounter? His destiny. He encountered a time where the God inside him, or the God on him, was being mocked and criticized, and he took a stand and said, whoa, wait a minute. This can't happen. Well, it wasn't about cheese. It wasn't about bread. It was about him being faithful to the little thing that introduced him to the 9'6" giant. And it brought him to the place of conquering things much bigger than him. Listen, if your purpose does not scare you, you might ought to revisit. It might not be from God. Why? Because he'll bring a purpose into your life that is way bigger than you and I. I'm standing in one of them right now. Way bigger than me. This thing is way bigger than me. That's why I depend upon God the entire time of being your pastor. I pray and I said, God, if you don't show up today, it's not going to look good. It's not going to be good. Somebody asked me, said, do you get nervous? I still get butterflies before I stand up and speak. Why? Because I don't want my ability to be so rested that I'm not encountering him in the midst of it. One-dimensionalism is the fact, my one dimension is I'm coming to church and I'm going home. So that's narrowed down just one dimension. I did what God wanted me to do. I came and I listened, I worshiped, and then I'm going home. But what about the rest of your life? It's full of purpose. But we ought to encounter it. But we've got to be able to be faithful to the little that God's given us. Are y'all with me? See, he wants us to be able to be shaken by the destiny that is coming to us. To be stirred, because why? The darkness. Isaiah says it this way. There's going to be darkness that's going to cover the earth. He says, as a matter of fact, there's going to be gross darkness that is going to be covering the understanding of people. It's going to be so dark that people won't even understand. I look around and I say, yeah, I see that. I see Isaiah's prophecy coming forth. I see that. But see, before he said anything about the darkness, he says this, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. What does arise and shine mean? It means get up. Get up from where you are and go to work. Get up from where you are and do what God wants you to do. How do we know that? Because the Bible says that when you do the works of God, that is your light. And he says, let your light so shine that when they see good works, they will glorify your Father in heaven. So he says, get up, arise, get up, stand to your feet and start moving. See, that's the other dimension. I received what I needed from God. Hallelujah, thank you. Now he says, get up. Get up and do something. Get up and make a difference. Get up and say something to that person. Get up and do something for that person that's going to help them. Get up and take action, because your purpose is around the corner. Who knows the next action that you take that God's given you, even how small it is, you run right smack dab into the biggest thing you've ever seen, and God's using you to take it out. Sort of makes me want to do a lot of little things. How can I help you? What can I do? How can I help you? You know, oh, the fullness of his destiny upon you is so great. This house, the destiny upon this house is so great, much greater than you and I realize. This is not just a place where people will come and just worship and go home. This is a place where people will come in, encounter God's presence that will make a difference in their life so much that it will cause them to go out and take action that is different than what they've already been doing. You know, these people that you're seeing being baptized, where did that come? Stand up. No, go ahead and stand up. He's heard that before. Listen, why did that happen? It came from this man. What was his heart? His heart was just not to feed people, just not to house people. That wasn't his heart. What was his heart? His heart's to make a difference in how they live, not how they eat. So you see people from out of the ashes, because some of them's got healed, got delivered or saved in healing rooms. Some of them's got saved out of the ashes. Why is that? That's him. It's part of his destiny, his purpose, and he's doing it. You think it's going to remain little? No. You think it's going to remain where it's at? No. Why is it? It's bigger than him. And God just keeps bringing people in. God keeps bringing his provisions in. Why? Because he's fulfilling his purpose for now. Why? He arose and he took some action. What action are you taking? Or are you still sitting? You may sit down. The whole thing, this thing is bigger than us. Much bigger than us. I have another whole point, but I don't have time to go in it. I really don't. But I'll talk to you about it next week. How many of you have felt like I've messed up? And I think I've spent the time of my destiny because I've messed up so bad. Raise your hand. I've done things that I think I've messed up God's purpose in my life. Listen, y'all and all the rest of you needs to come next week, because we're going to be talking about that. You'll be seeing some things that will actually explode inside you with the goodness of God as you realize what he's done. Amen. Stand to your feet. Before you leave, there's a open house that is for Will and Polly that is going to be over at Debbie and Ed's place today at 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, they have refreshments and everything. You get to know Will and Polly a little bit better. And also today at 3 o'clock, right here, Pastor John, isn't it today? Yes. Today at 3 o'clock, we're having a memorial for Bill Williams, who used to sit back there. See Bill, you'd think he's just homeless and you know, no, not much for God, but I'm telling you, he was a man of God. He was smarter than you think, way smarter than he looked. And if you ever engage, that's the reason we don't need to judge from the outside and say, well, you know, no. Anyway, you got something you want to say?
GPS, how to get to our house, you're going to go to somebody else's house.
That would be me that left that off. 66:11. Are you ready for what God's about to do through you? Three of you? Are you ready for what God is about to do through you?
Yes.
All right. Because we need to be a prepared people for the purpose of God. And that's what we're trying to do, is prepare you for the bigger purposes that is beyond what you're currently doing. Listen, you want to hear, I know I got you standing. Listen, do you want to hear this prophetic word?
Yes.
It was to me. The prophetic word was for me. Listen, but it's for all of us. You have to listen to this. Terry, you are surrounded by the beauty of the Lord, covered in it through and through. He causes you to shine like a well-lit city on a hill in the dark of the night. This light, this beauty, causes others, bids them to come in from the night and to find shelter and nutrition, safety, and purpose. See, that was given to me before the service today. You are walking and standing in a cardinal moment. This is us in a cardinal moment, one that has supreme importance. You're in a cardinal moment. The stand you take, the decision you make, will and turn the tide in the hearts of many people. And then it said this, look up mountain morning. Morning dew. I almost said mountain dew. Yahoo. I love God. I really do. Look up morning dew. You know what morning dew? I didn't have to look it up. You know what God gave me about morning dew? When you get up and experience the morning dew, see, that is the low lying presence of God. So when you experience the morning dew, when you walk in it, you leave a mark that you've been there. Father, I thank you for the goodness. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your scriptures. I thank you for your presence. I thank you, God, that you're in the midst of this body, this congregation, stirring us in such a way that's causing us to get so energized with you, that it's going to continue to cause us to rise up and to shine your character and your nature. That it will cause kings and nations to come to the brightness of your glory upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.